Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Welcome to the fire.
Welcome to the fire, boys. My name is Parker McDonald.
And I'm Walter Lee, and we'll be your hosts on this episode of the Southern Collective Hunting Podcast. If you're a new hunter trying to learn the basics,
or you're a veteran woodsman just trying to get through your workday, there's always a place at our campfire for you.
Speaking of the fire, we would love it if you guys would join our growing Patreon community and be a part of the best and only digital deer camp south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Come on. If you'd like to learn more, click on the link in the show notes. But for now, Walt,
welcome to the fire.
Woo! I am tired, but welcome to another episode of Live from the Fire. This is Walt coming in live from Florida. You've probably heard, if I've done this properly, you've probably heard from Brett and Matt and Parker. They had the more exciting hunts, I think, and I wanted to give them that go-ahead. So we'll see if they get published before mine, but man, this is that time of year we're all waiting on, man, and it feels like this year the universe is kind of realigning. Last year I got kicked in the teeth in Florida. If I had five encounters, I had a dozen where I should have been able to pull the trigger, and just something weird went wrong, kind of out of my control, and you know it. It always felt like I was in the game, and you can't really argue with that. That's a great turkey season. This one just started off a little faster, a little better. Yesterday, we went down into a swamp. We water accessed in, basically got dropped off on an island, and Parker and Chicken Buck went to a different island. Me and Corey hunted this slough. Basically, that had these little dry patches. Think about a cypress swamp just full of little elevation changes of a couple inches, and those elevation changes meaning the difference between dry ground and pines and just cypress trees. And dropped us off on the bank. We crawled up in there and didn't see anything. Didn't hear a single peep. And turns out there are about four or five other guys also hunting that area, and I kind of wonder if there weren't turkeys in the area. They just got a little bit buggered by all the noise and the racket of five different hunters walking in and around these islands. They're not very big. They feel bigger than they are, immunity. And then you kind of walk around the perimeter of an entire island, you realize just how small it is. So sat there the rest of the day just kind of listening. We didn't pack near sufficient water, and So as a consequence, we just kind of sat there, and Parker and Chicken Buck were allegedly on a turkey all the way up until about 2 or 3 o'clock that day. Meanwhile, Corey and I did not have the means in which to really explore some of those other islands like you'd kind of anticipate and hope for. Fast forward to the next day, instead of coming at it from the water, knowing that all those guys were coming at it from the water, we decided to come at it from the land and wade through the swamp to get to the other side of the island chain that Parker and Chicken Buck had been hunting. And we did so, made our way down this old logging road, got out into the middle of a swamp, and immediately heard a couple birds gobbling. And we're excited because this is the first time we'd heard birds in what felt like 6 years. If you're a turkey hunter, if you go a full day in the turkey woods without hearing a gobble, at least for me, I start to wonder if I'm ever going to hear another turkey. I'm going to be completely honest with you. And anxiety starts to kick in. My baseline, I've said this before, my baseline for a great hunt is hearing a single gobble. After that, it's all gravy. And we hadn't heard one. Didn't hear one on the roost. Well, I don't think we didn't roost the night before, but we spent an entire day in an area that was awful turkey that we were told had turkeys, and I believe that they did, and just didn't hear anything. And so here we are, facing not far from where Parker and Chicken Buck are, and we're hearing this tom that's seemingly in between the two of us. So I start texting and contacting Parker like, hey man, do y'all hear that bird? And Parker says, dude, we don't hear anything. Where are you? I sent him a screenshot. And he said, listen, if you can hear that bird, we can't. You go ahead and kill him. And in reality, Parker was a lot closer to that bird than I thought. We were a lot closer to Parker than I thought. And the fact he couldn't hear the mayhem that ensued after that is kind of crazy to me. But nonetheless, he couldn't hear the two birds we heard gobbling, so we went after him. He gave us the all clear, and we started making our way on the bird. And well, not long after that, as we started to approach this big blowdown area, we hear some soft yelping on the other side. Very good yelping at first, and it was really awesome to hear. Because I thought, sure, well, there's a hen and she's talking to us. We can talk to the hen and call these toms right to us. I've got a shotgun and Corey's got a shotgun. The purpose of this trip was to get Corey his first bird. So I was always giving him that prime first, that first shooter, you know, benefit of the doubt. If two birds came in equal distance, we'd do the 3-2-1 shoot deal. But, if push come to shove and the birds start to bugger, I wanted him to get the shot. So I mainly ran the camera. Well, as we make our way around this blowdown, the yelping gets more frantic and it starts getting candidly kind of bad. We had just started yelping and that other hunter, I thought that other hunter knew we were, or that hen that we thought was there turned out to be another hunter. And so I think in the moment, well, this fella's trying to kill these birds before we kill them. Well, we're on about either sides of about 100 yards of blowdown. These birds are sitting kind of, envision a circle about 100 yards wide. He's on the west side, we're on the east side, and the birds are due north. We set up and kind of get quiet because I don't really want to mess this hunter up, and the birds start leaving. As the birds start leaving, he starts calling more and more frantically, more and more quickly, and the birds just keep leaving. So at this point, I just start doing some, I don't know, mid-tone yelping. Just yup, chop, chop, chop. Immediately, the grabs both just double and triple gobble, and fire off start coming towards me. And I'm thinking, okay, well, these birds didn't want anything to do with what was happening over there. They were leaving, and now here they come. Well, these birds, I didn't know it, but there's some water in front of us to the north side of that circle I mentioned before. And those birds had to skirt that water to get to us, which meant they kind of came in from the northwest and crossed past where that other hunter was. And I looked at Corey and I said, that hunter's going to kill those birds. Those birds have got to be right on top of that hunter. And I keep saying this over and over again. And then finally you hear the first shot. Pow! Parker calls, says, hey man, was that you? I said, no man, the other hunter got it. He's like, other hunter? And I tell him the story about that time that gobbler fires off right in front of us, and he's even closer this time. So I hang up quickly. Corey and I get back under the base of the tree, and we're sitting there, and this bird is just kind of hung up between the two of us. And all of a sudden, you hear pow again. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh my God, this guy just done shot two turkeys. This is crazy. I called two turkeys right in for that fella. And I genuinely don't think if I hadn't been kind of set up on an like the other side of that circle, those turkeys had already crossed that slough through a little dry area and were headed north. I think they'd completely lost interest. Maybe they expected that hen to like come with her or whatever, but whenever it sounded further away from them, they garnered their interest, however that happened. So Corey and I are sitting there and thinking, wow, this is what a cool experience. And all of a sudden in front of us to the north, you hear another turkey. Bow! To the northeast. Bow! To the due east. Bow! There's birds gobbling everywhere. I think we heard anywhere between 5 and 7 birds. Just truly amazing. Just out of this world. I cannot believe the amount of gobbling we heard this morning. One of the better days I've had in the turkey woods, especially out for public. And so we start moving eastward, and as we're moving eastward to get the bird that's closest to us, I start getting into a calling war with a hen. And then the hen does its patented that Parker does so well, and I immediately realized in that moment, I was closer to Parker than I realized. To this day, I do not know how the birds could have been so close to both Corey and I and Parker, and he couldn't hear him, but he swears he never heard him. To be honest, he might have just been making that up so I could get a bird, get Corey a bird, I don't know. So Corey and I decided to double back across that slough and go to the north side after that bird, those birds we heard at the due north. So we come across the slough, we make this big, big circle, we come up to this pine flat, and the pine flat's just littered and scratching. Gorgeous, gorgeous turkey woods back there. Little red oak swamp bottom with some big old growth pine trees. And I cut on the call a couple times. Da, 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 da. All of a sudden, bow, there he is. And there's the hen. Chop, 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 chop. It's unmistakably a hen. And so I cut her off, and she cuts me off. I cut her off, and I'm thinking, I'm going to draw this hen in and kill the bird behind it. Lo and behold, that hen started to make its way away from me. Didn't want nothing to do with me. And the gobbler's just steady gobbling right behind her, right behind her, right behind her. So we get up. We make 5 moves on this bird. Cut the distance to 70, 80 yards. Granted, keep in mind, we're in open habitat, so it's not like we can really get away with a ton of movement. We're moving 30 to 50 yards at a time as we go, trying to catch up with this hen but not give away our spot. Mainly using small palm trees to shroud our movement. We put a big, you know, a young pine, you know, if y'all have ever seen those palm trees that are about 8 feet tall, all their fronds kind of come down to ground level, but it's significantly larger than a palmetto, which, you know, 2 to 3 feet tall, but you can't see through it. Much harder to hide behind that. So we pick one of those, we go to it, we peek around the corner, pick a big tree and set up. We do this 5 times. Finally, we pull up the map. We're like, dude, there's water not far from us. Like, those birds are that hen is taking him to a point in which there's no return. And so I look at Corey and I said, Corey, dude, how far do you think they are? And he said, about 130 yards as the crow flies based on my maps. I said, we need to get within 50 yards, but, you know, get another 50 yards, or we sit here and hope they come back past us. We cut the distance 50 yards and we sit right here. And Corey says, man, I'm going to default to you on this. And Parker talks a lot about how when you're guiding someone else, you don't make the decisions that you ordinarily would make for yourself. There's pressure involved. You don't want to be the reason that the hunt is ruined. And I looked at Corey and I said, dude, you're going to have to trust me on this one. We're going to cut the distance. He's like, okay, I'm here. Let's do it. And so we started walking. We get about 20 yards into these cypress trees. Now, mind you, it's like 2 to 3 inches of water. It's got all these different plants that these birds have been feeding amongst. And I've never hunted birds that were standing in water. I mean, webbed feet. It was unreal. And we get about 20 yards, and something tells me I need to call. And so I pick out a split cypress tree in front of me, and I make my way up to it. The funny thing was, I was telling Corey the whole time, like, hey, I'm going to teach you what I know. It's not a lot, but it's enough to get you started. And one of those lessons is you never call unless you got your shoulder up against a tree suitable to hunt against. That way, if he fires off in front of you, you've got the opportunity to immediately melt into that tree and not get busted. And I said that maybe 40 minutes before this moment. We get to that split V. I make two calling sequences. On the second, within 30 yards of us, inside the cypress trees and the palms, hear two birds fire off. I mean, you could feel it in your eye sockets. They were so close. It sounds loud on an Insta360. And for anybody who's wondering, an Insta360 is about three shades away from a standard microphone. It's waterproof. It does a great job of capturing audio for it to be a waterproof camera, but by no means is it considered ideal. Well, at that point, Corey's about 3 feet behind me, and I ooze into the cypress tree, and this is the only time that Corey wasn't in the prime shooting position. And I get the camera set up, and I'm methodically going through my pre-shot regimen, getting my camera set up. Corey's got the Insta360 set up. He's doing a great job. I get my ZV-1 pointed at the seemingly only spot that I would think a turkey would come through. I'm telling you, 10 out of 10 times, I'd have bet the mortgage they would have come out to the right instead of to the left, because the left was so doggone thick. Well, Corey's sitting back there, and he's about 3 feet behind me, and I look over, and I see his barrel is about even with my shoulder, facing safely away from me, but if that gun goes off, I'm never going to hear turkeys out of my right ear again. And I look at Corey, and I said, dude, get up to this tree. So he gets up to the tree, and I'm fully expecting these two turkeys to walk out. He's going to take the right one. I'm going to take the left one. 1, 2, 3, shoot, just like we talk about. And sure enough, out to the left of the opening, through the thicket, I hear branches breaking. At one point, I thought it was a hog. It was making so much noise. And I say to Corey, I can hear him walking. I can hear him walking. And about that time, here come the two turkeys to the left of the tree. And they're at like 15 yards. Now, the funny thing is, earlier in the day, I realized I had left my turkey choke at the house. Instead, I had a modified 870 choke in that gun. The irony is that I almost took that first afternoon to go buy another turkey choke, and I had decided, well, here's the deal. I'm not here to get a bird. I'm here trying to get Corey a bird. I'll get him close, and we'll see what happens. And that afternoon, I shot my shotgun at 35 yards, and I had a phenomenal pattern with that TSS out of a modified choke. And I thought to myself, 35 is plenty sufficient. We're going to rock it. Turns out that it was more than sufficient, and in reality, it was perfect for that setup. I had about 5 small vines in between me and the turkey, and I had about 4 seconds to creep back on my heels and pull the trigger. And sure enough, the bird dropped. Now, I thought I'd missed, because I never saw the bird drop. And so I jump up, start running, and the sad thing was the other Tom was about to step into the opening, and Corey probably could have shot that bird. But at the end of the day, we had a hell of a hunt, one I probably will never forget, in an area that was just beyond gorgeous, and we managed to get it done. So opening weekend bird, I've never done that before on the weekend. I've shot them right on the tail end, Monday, Tuesday of that opening weekend. I've always dreamed about getting an opening weekend bird, and there it is, early on a Sunday morning. Beautiful bird, had inch and a 16th inch spurs. It had about an 8.5 inch beard, gorgeous colors on it though. Only weighed 14.5 pounds. Florida birds just don't get that big, and hopefully y'all have heard more birds were killed and that day, that morning, all within about 3 or 4 hours of each other. And we had a heck of a time back at camp that night. So I'm excited, boys. Headed back out to hunt a couple days on the way back from turkey camp. And just grateful. feeling of gratitude. I say this all the time, and I hope people appreciate realize it, but I am remarkably grateful for the opportunity that I have to hunt turkeys in a place that's as abundant as the state of Florida. It's hard, but they're here. And until next time, guys, that's Live from the Fire. We will tune in as we have more updates. I hope you guys enjoy the podcast. Consider joining Patreon. Go check us out on YouTube. All of these hunts are on YouTube, or will be on YouTube, I should say. And so, yeah, till next time, guys, get outside in the turkey woods.